Good morning. You could be turning in your Bibles, please, to John. John chapter 16. We have a really, really great worship team, don't we? Oh, my goodness. It's so inspiring for all of us to sing together. And, you know, Mary Lou and I get to travel around a lot, and it's hard not to compare. We got a great group. You know, we want to welcome you again. You know, we got all of our kids in here this morning. Amen, kids. Woo! If you're our guest, we usually have classes for our children during our worship service. But today we've got our kids with us, and we're really glad that to have you guys with us and be part of our worship service today. And it is a fun, exciting time of the year. If you look at your newsletter, again, there's a calendar and a lot of things coming up. I just want to note that as Christmas is on Sunday today, I guess it's 3 weeks from today. Oh, my goodness, I got to get shopping. Obviously, it's the Lord's Day. We won't be assembling here together, though. We'll be meeting as we did the last time Christmas was on a Sunday, and smaller groups. We encourage you, if your family group can meet together and have a service together in somebody's home, or if several of you who perhaps live in the same neighborhood can get together as families. It is the Lord's Day, and we want to meet to worship God, but we won't be assembling all together like this. And then on Sunday, January 1st, we will meet together, but it will be at 11 instead of 10, so you can watch the ball drop and still maybe get a little bit of sleep. And we'll have all our kids together. We won't have classes that day either. We'll all be together on January 1st. And you can look at a lot of things going on. We are going to begin the year. All the men are going to get together and pray on Friday night, the 7th of January, as we really commit this year to God. And a lot of things going on you can see here. And I would want you to notice, though, as you look at our weekly offering, we've slipped a little bit in November. So certainly we want to do what we need and what we said we would do. So we remind you about that. But we are just very glad to be together. We've sung some great songs. You're going to see a theme. We shall overcome. Anchor for the soul. We're going to heaven. We're going to talk today about Jesus helping us have the victory in our lives. Since it is Christmas time and we got our kids with us, though, I thought I would share real quickly. I came across some letters that kids have written to Santa Claus. And if you're in the kid category or grown-up category and you haven't written your letter yet, you might get some ideas from this. One little girl says, "I love you very much. I want 37 things. A little boy says, "My name is Thomas. I'm 7 years old. My favorite thing is $1 billion or a toy." Brandon says, "Dear Santa, I'm a terrible two, so I'm not sure if you'll bring me anything. But I do want a radio control car, police car, new football, some drums. Thank you." A little girl, Judy, says, "Dear Santa, what I want for Christmas is a green shirt, and if I don't get it, I don't believe in you." A little girl says, "Dear Santa, I really want something special. I want another baby brother, or I want a cat, or I want a dog. I want a fish. I like all these." Amen. Two or three more. "I'll admit it. I've been bad sometimes, but they couldn't prove anything. So could I please have the pellet gun now?" Well, Dylan says, can I have a place to go away from my sister?" Oh, a couple more. A little boy says, "My brother Jason always wants what I want, so could you please send him away?" And finally, Alex says, Sorry about the milk and cookies last year. I got tired of waiting for you. But I love the toys and candy. Thanks. Please email me. Amen. You know, we always give a little disclaimer. I mean, the Bible doesn't necessarily tell us to significantly remember Jesus' birth. We're told to remember his death and appreciate the things that Richard shared, his death and resurrection. But he did come into the world. And he came into the world to make our lives different. And let's see if I can do this. Whoa. Oh, okay. Trouble. I ask you to turn to John chapter 16, verse 3. You ever feel like this is the road sign for your life? Trouble ahead. You know, Jesus said, and I believe Russ mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about being able to meet Jesus meeting our needs and the church meeting our needs and grief and a lot of things. You know, the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed, he had a lot of things on his heart that he shared with his disciples. And then he said, the end of John 16, verse 33, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. There is trouble in our world. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but very often there are things that we have absolutely no control over. And really, the world has always been a troubled place. I grew up in the 50s in the era of the Cold War, but also in the era of people being very concerned about nuclear war and about atomic bombs. And we had neighbors who spent a lot of money building a fallout shelter. And a lot of people that could afford it were doing that, digging down in the ground and building a bunker and stocking it with all kinds of foods. So when the nuclear war came, they'd be okay. Yeah, right. I remember we were taught in elementary school, if there was an atomic bomb, to get down on the floor under your desk. After a while, I realized, what in the world good is that going to do? And then I was in high school and college in the 60s. A time of trouble in our world, in our nation. The civil rights struggles. The Vietnam War. The assassination of both John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King. Trouble. And then we got married and started having children, and Richard Nixon was president. Trouble. The man that went on TV and said, I am not a crook. Only was. And worse. And it was a challenging time. You know, we were in the church down in Homestead, Florida, and I was friends with an army officer in the church there who wasn't super close to President Nixon, but was on his communication team and traveled with him. And he just was crushed as he realized the things that had happened. I don't know what's happened to Mel Barefoot, but I know it was a challenging time for him as well as our nation. Trouble. And as here we are at the end of 2016 and on the brink of 2017, and we got trouble in our world. Our culture is changing. And not necessarily in a good way. And I'm reminded of Isaiah's commentary on his time, that people call evil good and they call good evil. It also reminds us the world has always been a troubled place. Hatred abounds in our world, and it always has. And we see the political tensions, the racial tensions, the things that are so unfair. Some of you who are treated a certain way because of the color of your skin. It's a challenging world we live in. And we're not here to minimize those things. They are real. And really, they've always been real, haven't they? Because of sin. And when you look at the New Testament, as I was reading through the book of Acts, it just struck me a couple of times where it says, and they were flogged, and then it goes right on. And I thought, whoa, I've got to stop and think about that. It's easy to read over that without grasping what it meant to be flogged, beaten almost to the point of death because they were Christians. There's trouble in this world. The men studied Hebrews recently in our midweek lessons. There's that phrase where the writer says, you joyfully endured the confiscation of your property. Because they were Christians. Trouble. Trouble every week. When I grew up in Tennessee, and one of the favorite places to go growing up was Gatlinburg, Tennessee. If you've seen the news recently, horrific fires, much loss of life. Last night, a big fire in a warehouse club in Oakland, California. Maybe 40 people died. There is trouble in our world. Okay, we're going to get to some better stuff here, but I'm not a pessimist, but look, and you know, all other kinds of trouble, all kinds of trouble. There's just the normal stuff that happens every day when your alarm went off and your body didn't respond. Or when you go out and the tire's flat or the car won't start, there's just the trouble that happens on our jobs or in our life. And, you know, somebody said their appliances have feelings because when the washer breaks down, the refrigerator joins it. Their personal losses, financial losses, health losses, people will disappoint us. Raise your hand if anybody's ever disappointed you. Oh, well, raise your hand if you've disappointed somebody. Raise your hand if you've disappointed yourself. I mean, there's trouble. The loss of loved ones. Many of you have lost loved ones this year. And there have been some very tragic situations in our church this year. I appreciated the things Richard said. Because I know Richard, I knew when he started that he was talking about what had happened to him. But 1, 2, 3, 4 brothers tragically, brutally lost. This is how life is. Losses. I was thinking about, because it was just the anniversary, November 15th, of the day my mother died when she was 35 and I was 11. Long time ago, 1959, but I still remember my dad telling us. I still remember how I felt. A few years later, as you know, after college, I went in the Army and been there about 4 days, and a huge, the company on a Saturday morning, several companies, hundreds and hundreds of soldiers, and they called my name. Larry Craig, report to the Red Cross. I went to the Red Cross office, and somebody said, do you know Jim McMean? I said, yeah, he's my best friend. Well, he drowned last night. His family wants you to come home. Boy, that's etched in my feelings. And that was July 3rd, 1970. And as you know, some of you know, I'm still close to his mother. I talked to her on the phone yesterday. She's my mother, 99 years old, still lives by herself. But there's still a loss. There are losses in life. All right. Jesus' words. In this world, you will have trouble. Being a Christian and following Jesus is not some kind of magic bubble around us to keep all problems away. But he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. He wanted us to know there are things that happen in life that are unfair, unjust, uncalled for. Trouble. But Jesus said, I've risen above the world's troubles, and I'm giving you peace. Don't be surprised that you have troubles. But there's an anchor for the soul, as we've sung. And we're going to talk about so many things we could talk about, but we're going to talk this morning about some things that Jesus has promised and given us, some ways we can view the trouble in the world and overcome as he has. And these are really simple things, aren't they? Faith that God is in control. Fellowship of believers, and a future home in heaven. You know, faith that God is in control. We say God is in control. It is not a cliche. It is not just a pat answer. God really is in control. When you look at Romans 15, let's look at some passages in Romans. Romans 15. I appreciate Richard taking us to Romans 5 about what we deserve and what we undeservedly get. Forgiveness and salvation. But as I've been looking at Romans lately, Paul says in Chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Back in John, Jesus said, I'm telling you how to have peace in this troubled world. And that's a whole fascinating, encouraging, challenging study, the peace that God offers us. The peace that Paul understood from a prison cell as he wrote the church in Philippi. The peace that nobody can understand. Paul says here, it comes because we trust God. God is not unaware of the trouble that we face in our world at large or personally. You know, when Elijah and all the prophets of Baal were having this contest on Mount Carmel to see what, quote, God would cause the sacrifice to burn up, and the prophets of Baal were crying out and all that, and Elijah's kind of taunting them, you know, talk louder, maybe your God's asleep. He went on a trip. He'll be back. Keep talking. Our God never goes to sleep. He never goes on a trip. He never faces a situation where he says, oops, I don't know what in the world to do now. You know, there's a bigger picture than what goes on in our society and even what goes on in our lives. And we learn. There's trouble, but there's God. You know, I mentioned right before my friend drowned, as we were about to graduate from college, Mary Lou and I, we'd gotten married the summer before. We had our life before us. We were going to be teachers. I was going on to graduate school. I wanted to be a college professor someday. And back to Mr. Nixon. Ended all the occupational deferments. This is Vietnam. All of a sudden I realized, I got to go to the Army. That had not been in my plans any way, shape, or form. I had a contract to teach school. I graduated from college on a Saturday, and I got my draft notice on Monday, and I thought, well, I guess they hadn't forgotten me. And that, to me, was trouble. I had not anticipated that any way, shape, or form. And soon I went. As I mentioned, 4 days later, my best friend drowned. A few days later than that, we found out Mary Lou's pregnant. We're like, boy, we ain't planning nothing here very well, are we? I look back and I'm so grateful that I had to go in the Army. Because of things I learned, but also because it took us away from a situation, a spiritual situation, in which we were lukewarm and we were part of a lukewarm situation and we didn't even know it. And God took us to a different place and we got exposed to different things and eventually became true Christians and went in the ministry and all, amen. What am I saying? You know, sometimes the stuff that happens that we don't think's good, God knows what he's doing. Remember when David's brothers got scared when they realized who he was and apologized, and David said, it's okay. You meant it for evil. God meant it for what? Good. You know the word God. It wasn't good what happened to him. All the trouble is not always good. That's not what Jesus is saying. Be saying, I've overcome, because Jesus had a plan and God had a plan. Fear means lack of trust in God. Fear is real, but when I live by fear, what I'm saying is I am not trusting God. Look, I get worried too. I got grandchildren in here. I might have mentioned that sometime or another. What kind of world are they going to live in a few years? Ah! I don't know, but I know God has a plan and God is in control. And I trust him. You know, Job, when so many things were happening, Job's wife said, you're an idiot. That's not exactly what she said, but that's sort of what she communicated. Is it just curse God and die? And he said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There's no trouble bigger than God. And also the fellowship of believers. I mentioned a while ago, people that disappoint us, we disappoint each other. Even in our church, we let each other down sometimes. You know, but overall, we got something good going on here, I'm telling you. You know, look again at Romans 15, verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5, Paul says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one place in our world, in our human existence, where there's true fellowship and unity, and that's in God's church. And it is a beautiful, special thing. You know, as Paul wrote the church in Rome, they had some issues. The Jewish background Christians and the Gentile background Christians were having some tension about what it meant to be a Christian. They had people who felt like it's okay to offer meat, okay to eat meat offered to idols. What's the big deal? People whose consciences were bothered by that. There was tension. But Paul's saying you have a unity that transcends cultural differences, racial differences, socioeconomic differences, because we are united by the blood of Christ. And this is a place of safety. This is a place where people care. This is a place where it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what you look like. We belong to each other. Now look, our New Jersey group right now has 614 members. Amen. If you can name all the names, please teach me. You can't know 614 people, but you can know some people, right? In your small group, in several small groups. I'm saying there are so many things that happen every week in this church. People caring about other people. People getting other people to doctor's appointments. People praying with other people. People, it's just endless. Russ and Sari and Mary Lou and I were talking the other day. I wish there was some way just to know. You saw it last week when people were expressing thanks. So many things were about the things that people do for other people that most people don't know about. Because we belong to Jesus and therefore we belong to each other. What lessens the trouble in the world? This. Knowing when you or I face particular troubles, we're not facing them alone. We've got God, faith in God, but we have each other too. And we rally to help each other. You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a ministry staff retreat for all the churches in New York, New Jersey, Northeast. We met in Hartford, Connecticut, and Sam Powell and I were charged to give a message about unity. And it was a fun message. It was a great, we believe in the unity that comes from Christ. I appreciate the Christian friends I have. I appreciate my relationship with Sam Powell. I appreciate my brother, Elder Lewis Livingston, who shepherds me. I appreciate what we have. But in this ministry group, I shared about our little ministry brotherhood of full-time ministers in New Jersey. Russ Murdoch, Ross Lippincott, Rob Novak. Okay, I had them stand then, but you know what they look like. Okay, but you visualize me and Russ and Ross and Rob. What do we have in common? We're kind of three distinct places in life, aren't we? I kind of seem to be in an older place in life than they are. Russ is a year older than my son, and I gotta admit, I'm older than his dad. Ross and Rob, if you were there at Ross's wedding, I asked him if I could share this, but I shared, you know, we're really close. One of us was born in 1988 and one of us in 1948. You can probably figure out which is which. And Rob, several years ago now, this is Rob's spiritual birthday, 7 years, awesome. But several years ago, I was talking to Rob, I said, do you know what I realized? I'm three times older than you. And I've been married twice as long as you're alive. Oh, my goodness. You know what helps me with the trouble in the world? These brothers. Because we don't just work together. We're part of each other's lives. As most of you know, we pray together every Thursday morning from 7 to 9. And, you know, we started that in the fall of 2010. That's about 600 hours of praying together ago. And all the things that we've prayed about that have happened and that we've had to just cry out to God and commit. You know, the fellowship of believers. If you don't feel that, I don't want to deny what you feel. I encourage you to talk about it. But honestly, guard your own heart. Evaluate yourself. If I'm not close to people, it may be my fault for not being open and real and vulnerable. Okay, finally. Future home in heaven. I love that song, Anchor for the Soul. I mean, I got to say, I love it even if my son hadn't written it. But it talks about what we're talking about. We have an anchor, our faith in God. a lot of that song talks about the future that we have in heaven too. And we've sung about that, and Ross sang about that in such a powerful, beautiful way. Also back in Romans, you know, Paul said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. There's trouble in this world, but this world is not our home. We sing that sometimes. I love the spiritual that says, soon I'll be done with the trouble of the world. I'm going home to live with God. Look, I'm not a pessimist about the world. I love life. I want to go to heaven. If it's a few more days, that's awesome, because I enjoy living. But this life has trouble. So we're looking forward to the next life that has perfection. If we're Christians and we're following Jesus, what can happen to us? That's so terrible. Okay, please, I don't mean to minimize the things that we face, but I mean, we get to go to heaven. Nobody can take that away from us. Look finally at one more passage, and if the singers want to start coming up here, that would be awesome. 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus said, let's back up. In this world, you will have trouble. I'm telling you this so you can have peace, but just let me lay it out for you. Christianity does not produce an immunity against trouble. In fact, sometimes trouble comes because of our commitment. But Jesus said, hey, take heart. I've overcome the world. I'm bigger than this. I have it. I got this. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you my peace, he says in that same night. And here, as Paul thinks about that, you know, in the context, there were people saying there's no resurrection. Jesus didn't really come back to life. And Paul said, are you kidding me? We're futile in what we believe if there's no resurrection. Of course he came back to life. And then he goes on and says, verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin and the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we really overcome, as we sang a while ago? The victory comes in Jesus and the cross. And so Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Trouble, persecutions, hardship, all those things that Paul says in Romans 8 can't separate us from the love of Christ. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There's trouble in the world. Jesus said, take heart. We overcome as we follow him because we have faith that God is in control. Because we have a fellowship of believers. We're not alone in the trouble that we face. And that we've got some place worth going to, worth living for, worth dying for. We are going up yonder, and we're going to end singing, I hope with all of our hearts, that we are going up yonder where there is no trouble. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.